You want to build trust? Think of a time when something's gone wrong. What did you do? And if you're telling me nothing's ever gone wrong in my business, I'm sorry, I don't believe you, because that's not life. So you find a time when something went wrong and you fixed it and you tell the story.
This is Eat, Sleep, Invest, the marketing podcast for real estate investors to get more deals. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Eat, Sleep, and Invest. I'm your host, Brian Driscoll, and I'm here with Steve Rawling. What's going on, Steve?
I'm very well. It's very snowy over here in Manchester, England right now, but I am busy. I'm working on people's stories, working on my stories.
So Steve, give everybody a little background, like how you got into this and what all you do.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was a journalist with BBC Television for a long time, television news, for the best part of 20 years. So I got used to not only telling stories, but pitching stories constantly to editors. And so I figured I'd probably have told about 20,000 stories across my career, everything from very, very short news, 15 seconds, right the way to a full documentary. So I got a lot of experience of telling stories and also listening to other people's stories and drawing their stories out of them. And then I've kind of realized that's actually kind of quite a rare skill. No, it's not rare. It's not a rare skill. Everyone is a good storyteller, but in their kind of private life, they kind of tell stories all the time, right? When you're sitting there with a mate and you're going, oh, I've had the day from hell. And they go, what happened? And you tell them a story, right? We all do that. But what happens, it's really interesting, when people then sit down at the keyboard at work and they think, right, I need to write a story, it just goes out. It just goes. And they start using long words and jargon and business speak and fancy terms. And they just forget how to tell a story because they're under kind of pressure, or they see that's what everyone around them is doing. And so I figured out about 8 years ago, hang on a second, I can do this and I can show other people how to do it. And that's where we get into becoming a storytelling trainer and a consultant. Anyway, so fast forward to 8 months ago, and when you got in touch and said, yeah, I've bought these cards that help me tell stories, but I'm still struggling a bit. I thought, okay, where can I? And so I said to you, like, send me a load of videos, send me what you're doing already. And so there's the podcasts, the short videos you're making. And I watched them and I watched them and I watched them. I got to about number 10, 10th video I'd seen. And I thought, I still don't really know what Brian does. And I actually watched one of your colleagues did a video and went, oh, now I know what he does. Because somebody else had basically described it exactly as, like, I was going, I've got to tell him. I've got to tell him. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of honesty. There's a lot of personality coming across in these videos. But I'm not a daft guy, and I can't figure out what it is you actually do. So that was our starting point, wasn't it? Of like, okay, let's just go right back to basics. Because if I can't see what you do, and I'm not a real estate investor, I'm not your target audience, but I'm a reasonably intelligent guy. And if I can't understand what you're doing, it's other people are going to be struggling. And it's ruthless out there. If you don't get someone's attention in 5 seconds, they've scrolled past. Yeah. And if you don't, then you've got their attention, and then you don't deliver what they will find useful, well, they'll never click on you again. You can get people with clickbait to click once, but you can't get them to click again and again and again unless you're giving them something useful. And the best way to give people useful information is actually in a story, because stories are about people doing things and change and lessons learned. They all come to us in stories. So it's just a really good way. And so, so how did you find the process when we started? When I first came back to you and said, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. What was the process like for you?
It was pretty good because, number one, I liked it because you're a straight shooter. Because most people just tell me what I want to hear. They don't want to hurt your feelings. It's like, hey, I don't know what you do. And also, interesting thing, you said, like, whenever you're doing a video, you capture their attention, but you have to give them what you say. Mm. You pointed out in a couple of mine, I'm talking about something in the beginning and I go on a side tangent and I never come back to what actually hooked them, so they just get left at the end.
Yeah. Or the interesting thing was, so I was listening to things you were saying and I was thinking, oh, all right, I bet that means, you know, this happens to this, to, you know, I bet that means when someone's trying to sell a house, and I was imagining little stories that you weren't giving me. Cause this is what we do. When someone gives you a load of information that doesn't have a clear story, you either ignore it completely or you make up your own picture in your head. And it might be right or it might not be. So we don't like sitting there thinking, I'm not really sure what's going on here. So we just make stuff up in our heads, and it might not be the message you're trying to get across. So I was trying to imagine. And so that helps me, because then I can sort of, in conversation, I can say, okay, tell me about a woman who is in that situation. So tell me about somebody who's got a hoarder house, and what's that like? And then you told me this amazing, amazing story, right, about going into an actual house that had been empty for, 6 weeks, right, and thinking, I can smell something here, right, and opening up the fridge, and there's a chicken in the fridge. The fridge is not powered on, it's off, and this chicken has been sitting in the fridge for 6 weeks, yeah? And yep. You're thinking, oh, that's like, whoa! And with the minute you told me that, I went, right, that's a story. Yeah. And so for people who are listening to the podcast and they're thinking, you know, so often I get, you know, people think, oh, yeah, yeah, storytelling. Yeah, 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 yeah. And what they're thinking inside their head is, I have no idea what a story is. Right? Is it a novel? Is it a film? Is it a movie? Well, so here's what a story is. A story is a moment in time that you can picture in your head. Right? And if you can picture it in your head, right? Imagine if you've got a camera in your head and you're pointing your camera, your mind's eye, you're pointing it. There's Brian walking into a house. Yeah. Going, something smells really bad in here. Opening up the fridge and going, oh, and that, right. And that's what a motivated seller looks like. Someone who's not even cleaned out the fridge and they're desperate to get rid of that house.
And that's funny you bring that up too. Because when we were working together, you telling me about the movie in my head is what helped a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, I'm going to tell something and I need to imagine it and tell it versus I was just word vomiting, trying to do stuff.
It's a really good trick. And this is something that so when I was a young journalist starting out in television and I'd never done television before and I'd written little articles and I'd written in print for newspapers, but I'd never done TV. And I'd come in with all these ideas about these, I could do a great story about this and this and this, these issues usually. And the editor would sit there and go, okay, what are we going to point a camera at? And I'd go, oh, I don't know. I said, well, you can't point a camera at it. You can't make TV. So it's a really good test. You're thinking, right, I need to write about motivated sellers. Okay. Pick up your camera, your phone camera, and think, what would I point a camera at? And you can't point a camera at sellers, plural. You can't point you can't point your camera at the property market. Well, what are you pointing a camera at? You can't point your camera at 2,000 houses in the Chicago area. You can't. You can point your camera at one seller who is in the property market with one house. Right, I know what to point my camera at now. So that's the little test, really, the simplest test of all, of are you telling a story? Is if you can't point your camera at it, it's probably not a story. Because if you can point your camera at it and then you turn it into words, what you would see in that camera, okay, and it's usually it has to be people. People are really good, yeah? Here's Brian walking into a house, smelling the chicken, going, whoa, this person needs to sell fast. Okay. When you point your mind's eye at that and you put it into words, the amazing thing happens, you plant the movie in my head. So what you're saying, I'm running a movie going, yeah, 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 I can see that, I can see that, I can see that. I've never been in the house. I've never seen the fridge. I've never seen the chicken. Doesn't matter. I've got the movie. It's a particularly good story because it doesn't just look terrible, it smells terrible too. And so it's a really rich movie. So that's right. What you're doing when you're telling a story is you're getting a movie to play in somebody's head and they can literally say, oh, I see what you mean. And if they can't say that, they can't say, I see what you mean, then they're just sitting there going, oh, I don't get it. Right. So that was where we jumped in our journey was we started out with, you've got to tell me, you've got to help me see what you mean. And that means, usually one person in a place doing something, yeah, that's the movie, that's action. It really helps if you add emotion because we're emotional creatures. And so there's a, right. You know, there's a woman who's trying to sell a house because her mum's passed away. She can't deal with the emotional upheaval of, yeah, she's under stress and she's anxious. Okay, those are all emotions. And she just would like someone to take away the trouble. Relief. Okay. So those two ingredients, action and emotion, that's your movie. And then you give us those two bits, and then once we've taken those in, you slide in, okay, here's the moral of the story, right? The why I'm telling you this is because I help people like this woman find investors like you who want to make a quick deal for both sides' benefit. So that's the moral of the story. And what I see again and again and again and again in business writing is people just try to give the moral of the story. Here's why you should work with me. Here's why you should trust our company. Here's why you should, you know, invest in this product, whatever it is. They're just giving you the moral of the story, but they're not giving you the action or the emotion that makes the story work. So it's just like having a lecture. You know, it's like being back at school, and, you know, none of us like that. We like stories.
That's so important too, because I always figured, hey, I'm telling a story and I'm like talking too long, telling people that it's irrelevant, because in my head, that lady, who cares about her? We need to get to your problem of, hey, we can buy your house or connect you with somebody. But really, the story is what sells them, and then the story just has to relate to, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
Like if you're an investor, it's like, hey, by the way, we buy houses like this and we make it real convenient for you.
Or instead of telling the story about the seller, you tell the story about an investor. So it's, I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, how many, roughly now, do you reckon, how many different investors do you work with at Motivated Leads? Roughly how many?
2,000.
2,000. Okay. So again, here's the thing. What does 2,000 investors look like? Well, it's like, it'd be like a massive room full of people, but you wouldn't, you know, it's a weird thing to try and visualize. So instead of telling me a story about, you can't tell a story about 2,000 investors. What you can do is go, we work with around 2,000 investors at Motivated Leads. For example, there's John, right? And you jump into one example. So for example, there's John. He says about working with us there, and then you're into a little story about John. We helped him do this. We'd helped do that. Or the best. Yeah, I mean, the best story you told me, actually, the best story I got from you in the whole process, all those weeks we worked together, was the idea that, okay, one of the investors you're working with keeps coming back for refunds and saying that lead is dud, that lead's not good, that lead's no good. And it happens again and again and again. And you're thinking, no, wait a second, we're selling good leads here. Why is this guy coming back constantly? And there's two possibilities. One is his team are not very good at selling. Yeah, you're giving them good leads and they're just dropping them. Okay. Second possibility is there's something wrong with your leads. So what do? Well, you say to the guy, I'll come and work for you on your sales team. What was it, for 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah. So I'll be your lead manager for 2 weeks and run your leads.
Right. And so you're sitting there taking in your own leads and trying to make the sale. Tell us, what did you discover as part of that process?
Yeah, so when I was running that, and that was like a pinnacle of how you were able to help me convey that message. So what I found was, we're running the leads. Some of them were good, and some of them were bad. So there were some problems on the investor side, but we also had some lead problems, which I thought we had like the best leads in the world. So it was a little humbling.
Yeah, and so you're kind of, okay, you're going, whew. So on the roller coaster of story, you're thinking, you're sitting there thinking, we're doing a good job here. Our leads are the best there are. And then suddenly it's, we're not as good as we thought we were. Now, there's two choices when that happens, right? You either blame the client, walk away and deny nothing to do with me, mate, right? In which case, that's a tragedy. It's a downfall story. Or you go, oh, God, this is not what I wanted to hear, but we're going to fix it, right? And that's a recovery story. In this case, that's what you did. You went away and you fixed it so that no bad leads should ever get through your system again. And that's a fantastic story. In terms of, you know, you're thinking of property investors who are wanting, people who are listening now, and they're wanting to build up trust, right? Wanting to build up trust with potential home sellers, whoever it is, they're trying to build trust. And you can't put trust in a spreadsheet, and you can't put trust by, you know, giving yourself a fancy title, right? Where we get to trust people is we see what they do. And if they do the right thing when things go wrong, we trust you. If you run away and blame other people when things go wrong, we don't trust you. And all that comes across in the stories that you tell. So the interesting one for people listening is, okay, you want to build trust. Think of a time when something's gone wrong. What did you do? Right? And if you're telling me nothing's ever gone wrong in my business, I'm sorry, I don't believe you, because that's not life. I don't believe you. So you find a time when something went wrong and you fixed it and you tell the story.
Like, here's a good example of what, from an investor side, what a story could be to build trust. Maybe it's like, I purchased this home. I didn't realize how much work it needed. And I found out before closing, but I still decided to close on the property and buy it from you because I gave you my word. Things
exactly
like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. So basically,
but
I came
told it a nice story. Like, that wasn't a nice story. You would make it sexy.
Yeah. So I came in, I saw this house. I thought, look, it's pretty run down, but I can do it. I can make it work at 100,000. If I buy it at 100,000, I can make this work. And then I realized, actually, I hadn't spotted the damp in the cellar. And it's going to, and actually, my margin was like so thin in the end, it was practically zero. I was going to lose money, but I promised that woman I was going to buy the house at 100,000. I can't go back and tell her. She's taking it off the market. She's, I'm not the person who goes back and says, I can only give you 90. My fault, my mistake, I'll own it. Right, great. What a message. The moral of that story is, my word is my bond. When I say it, when we shake hands on it, you don't get me running around changing things at the last minute, which some actors in the industry do. They do that. You know, they wait to the very last minute and they say, yeah, we'd like to help. We'd like to do 100,000, but, you know, market's changed and we can only redo 90. No, that's terrible, terrible behavior. Gives the whole industry a bad name. It's interesting that reputation, it's what we're talking about is reputation. And I think reputation is established through the stories people tell about you and the stories you tell about yourself. And it's really fragile. You know, it doesn't take many bad stories to demolish all the reputation you've built up through years of good stories. So yeah, it's very it's very powerful. Here's an interesting question though, because obviously you've been through this kind of coaching process with me, and I'm always a bit cautious about promising too much from a kind of process of telling better stories. I've never tried to say to people, if you improve your storytelling, you will put 5% on your bottom line or 10% on your bottom line. You know, I've never said it because I don't think I can prove it. So let me ask you, 8 months later, you've become a better storyteller. Have you noticed an increase in your bottom line?
Yeah, so here's what I noticed, and you're right. You can't really, it's not really like a trackable to the specific story and things like that, a trackable number. But what I do notice is I'm getting a lot more people replying on emails because we send out stories and videos on there. But also, like, more importantly, when I go to events, people know who I am, like a lot of people. So I'm walking through events. It wasn't like that before. Now I'm involved with social media, emails, things like that. And I'm telling stories. People know who I am somehow. So it's like, it's not a trackable thing, but it's like something is working. So just keep doing that.
I don't think it is trackable. It's very hard. I mean, you know, but I think as well that, you know, you have a feeling in yourself of when you're going out on thin ice, like when you're sort of, when you're trying to say something and you don't feel you're not on solid ground and you don't feel confident and you know you're like winging it and sort of, you know, taking a risk, and any minute now someone's gonna call you on it and you're gonna go, I don't really know what I'm doing here. And I think the story, having the confidence to be able to say, well, let me give you an example, and to drop into a story and to have those stories kind of in your back pocket ready. I think that's quite significant. And I think the more, what you notice when you work with people who are at the top of their game, who've got maybe 20 years experience behind them, is they can drop into a story, the right story, really quite easily. They don't waffle and they don't sound like they're making it up, and they don't bamboozle you with theory. They can just tell you a story. And I think it's a sign of experience, but it's also turning that experience into something you can use. And obviously when you're sending out email, short video, social media, all of these things are built for telling stories.
You know where else it helps is on, so I do public speaking. I started speaking and it took me like 3 weeks or a month to come up with a PowerPoint presentation. I'm like, what do you say? So working with you gives me like a framework. It's like, I can bang it out now easy because I know, okay, here's the objective.
Yep.
Here's my message I want to get across, and I can lay it out. And then I can hop in front of a camera and just record versus taking like 50 takes. It's like, okay, here's the roadmap. Here's what we want to say. Here's what we need to do.
Yep.
And it just makes it so much easier.
If I can show people those, so this was the, these are the cards we were talking about earlier. This is called Storyteller Tactics. And there's one which gives you that kind of framework that Brian was talking about. And there's the card, not surprisingly, is called, it's called Movie Time. And it's basically saying, when you want people to see what you mean, give them a movie. And on the back of the card, they're only small cards, you can't get a lot of information on. And on the back of the card, it says, okay, you need to give people action, emotion, and then you give them the meaning. So that little template, three stages, yeah? What's the action? How did it feel? Now here's the point I want to make. You can do that again and again and again and again. And you can also, what's clever about it is you can do it backwards. So you start off by thinking, right, what's the point I want to make? And then you go, right, I need a movie to go with it. And so here's the thing I want to tell you. For example, and then you tell a little story. Or you can do the other way you can do it is, which is really powerful. Here's the thing I want to say, tell you. Just imagine you owned a house and you can put the person you're talking to into the story. And the clever thing about it, and I don't know why this is, but the clever thing about it is if somebody says to you, right, Brian, just imagine you're 5 years old for whatever reason, right? Or just imagine you're 95 years old and you can't resist. I don't know why this is, but you're not sitting there saying, I refuse to imagine that I'm 95 years old. I'm not going to do it, Steve. No, you can't. So it's something really powerful. You're using words to get into someone else's head. And it's a really powerful thing. And story is the best way. You know it works, right? Because when you finish work today, when I finish work, you're going to talk to your family or your friends or whatever it is, and they'll say, oh, how's your day? And if anything was interesting in the day, you'll tell them a little story, okay? You won't give them a spreadsheet of how interesting your day was, right? You'll give them a story. And if there's no story to tell, you'll sit on the sofa, you'll get out a novel, or you'll turn on Netflix, and you'll watch or read a story. Maybe you might play a video game, which is, you know, but anyway, apart from that, you're going to, you know, and if you sit down with your kids, you'll tell stories. So it's just, it's a world that we love being in. And all you have to do is borrow the tricks from that world and drag them into your work and just use them. I say all you have to do. I mean, you know, as you know, we went backwards and forwards for about 3 months of kind of,
yeah, probably 3 months, yeah,
trial and error and, you know, and feedback, which was, you know, very, very
I'm a slow learner too.
You're a busy man.
Right.
yeah.
Do you remember when we did the testimonials? Because I was saying, hey, how do we build credibility? Tell them how you were able to have me tie in with the testimonial to connect like our brand and everything with the video testimonials.
So, I mean, if people watching and listening aren't doing this already, then testimonials are basically the best stories you can tell because, okay, if someone asks what sort of can I trust you to do business with as an investor, you're going to say, yeah, of course you can. Well, you would say that, right? It's like the owner of a pizza restaurant saying, this is the best pizza in Chicago. Well, he would say that, right? What you really want to know is what do his customers say about the pizza? And the same goes for your business. It's what do people who you're working with say about you? And the best ones are your oldest customers who've been working with you for years and years and years and keep coming back for more, right? So I've got a client in the Republic of Ireland, one of the big universities. They've been working with me now for 8 years, solid, and they keep coming back for more. But there's a really powerful logic to that story, and that is, look, you or I can sell any old crap to anybody once. We can fool people once. We can't fool them twice or three times or four times. So if somebody keeps coming back to you or to one of the investors who's listening now, if they keep coming back for more, then you must be doing something right. So the old customers are just a brilliant story. So you've done quite well already before we even started working together at getting your investors to record a little short video sort of testimonials, I suppose, why they like working with you. And all we had to do then was think about how we tee them up to make them into really short 15-second videos, really good for social media, right? Really short video for social media. And so you think, okay, what's the best bit that John says about working with motivated leads, right? Okay, well, we're going to use that 8-second video where he says, you know, the leads just keep coming in your inbox and they're all good leads. Okay, that's what he says. And that's the bit we're going to use. And all Brian needs to do now is introduce him, say, I've been working with John now for 3 years. Here's what he says about us. Boom, bang, into John. Then off the back of it, you say, you could be like John too.
Yep.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So what you're saying to me, the potential customer for motivated leads, is here's someone like you. Yeah. Here's someone who invests like you do. They like us. They trust us. The logic of the message behind it is they trust us. You can trust us too. So that is just gold dust for any business, is to have those kind of testimonials. The weird thing is that I reckon the if there was a ratio of how many happy customers you've got to how many testimonials most businesses use, it's probably about it's got to be 1,000 to 1 or more, depending what sort of business you're in. All right, so you've got 2,000 regular customers, you're probably on about a 10 to 1 ratio. You've probably got 20 testimonials for 2,000.
Yeah, probably 20, 30, something like that. So yeah, you're about accurate.
So it's only about, that's actually less than 1, that's 2%. Okay. So you think about it like this. It's a weird thing asking for a testimonial. It's a bit like if you go out with a bunch of mates and you've known them for many, many years, and you know, it's like going up to one of your friends and saying, why do you like me? And they'd be going, what are you talking about? Shut up. All right. So you don't do it. They like you, you like them. You don't need to talk about it. It's the same with customers. If they're doing business with you on a regular basis, they obviously trust you, right? And therefore, because it's obvious, they don't say it, because why would they, right? So you have to make them say it. So you have to go to a good customer and you have to say, look, I'm doing some marketing. It's really good to be able to tell stories of customers. Can you be a case study for me? And if they're a good customer and you have got a good relationship, then hopefully they'll say yes. If they turn around and go, you know what, we don't really like you, then alarm bells are ringing and you fix that relationship. Okay. But let's assume they're a good customer and they say, yeah. So you set up a call like this maybe and record it, and you ask them a few little questions about, well, you know, why do you like working with us? And then you go even deeper, you go, can you give me an example of a time when we really helped you? Because then they're going to tell you a little story. Oh, yeah, there was that time when, da-da-da-da-da. And then you go, thank you very much, perfect. And then what your job is to do is to basically record that if you want to, write notes, and then your job is to basically to write that up as a short testimonial and then double-check it, send it back to them by email, say, look, this is what I want to use. Are you happy with this? And they'll go, yeah, that's fine. Boom, away you go. And you've got, so you could turn that you've got 1 or 2% of your customers are currently testimonials. Okay, well, that's probably better than most companies. But you put a bit of homework in, you go and speak to them and you try and drag their story out of them, you can increase that up. So suddenly your testimonial page, yeah, is full of customers. Not only is it on your testimonial page, which is a static website, obviously, but it's in every email that you send out. Every touch point you have with a customer, yeah, at the bottom of it, there's a little quote from, yeah. It's like Google reviews are brilliant. Obviously, 5-star reviews on Amazon or Google or Trustpilot, they're all really good, except for we don't massively trust reviews online, because we know they can be faked, right? So that's, and also, okay, 4.5 stars, thumbs up, doesn't really tell me anything about you. So, but a little testimonial, right, saying, I trust Brian's leads because he checks every single one before he sends it to us. Okay, well, that's a little story, and now I can, yeah, and I can see why it's worth working with motivated leads. Because there's a little story there rather than just thumbs up 5 stars, which is great. Thumbs up 5 stars is good, but doesn't get me anywhere.
Right. And you know what? For everyone listening too, it's like, so you have stories and you can use it in every piece of your funnel. So you have specific type of ads and stories you'll run to generate business, but then you have ads that build credibility before you meet people or while you're working with them. And then you have the testimonials. There's like all kinds of different ways to formulate stories, depending on what the, maybe your story is to, like, I'm in a tech space. I need to get you to understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's complicated things, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Or you can think that you can sort of, you know, you, when you're doing marketing, you segment your possible customers. And so in your case, you might think, okay, well, I've got one type of customer who's been at it for 10 years. One potential customer, they've been at it for many, many years. They're operating in maybe three or four different states. Okay. And so they're quite, you know, and they're turning over averaging two or three houses a week because they've got a decent team of people behind them. Okay. And then I've got another type of customer who's only just getting into investment. And maybe this is their second or third property that they're on now. And they're only operating in, you know, very limited areas. Okay. Well, you've got two types of customer segmentation, and you make sure that the case study, the testimonial you use is as close as you can. So if you're going to try and approach a potential customer who you know is able to flip maybe 10 or 15 houses a month, you tell them a story of an existing customer who's flipping 15 houses a month, right? As if you're talking to the guy down here who's on his second or third attempt, right? Not really sure what you're doing yet. You tell them a story of someone who's on their second or third attempt, who you've helped. So you match the story in the marketing, you match the story to the target customer as much as you possibly can. That's basically what you're trying to give me, the potential customer, is I understand what you need. I've helped people like you. Fantastic. That's the simplest version of a selling story you can find is, someone like you buys this product. Fantastic.
So everyone listening, I wanted to bring Steve on just because in the real estate space, I don't think there's much talk about stories and getting your message across, things like that. I think it's really important, especially when we're dealing with sellers that don't know who we are. You know, so Steve's an asset there. Steve, can you tell them, number one, where they can get the deck?
Mm, yeah.
If they wanted the deck, the blueprint, basically.
Okay, so the blueprint, the tools of my trade are in this box called Storyteller Tactics, which is sold on pipdex.com. In that box, there are about 54 different cards, all different kind of different types of story. I mean, you and I only went through about six of these cards in our time together. So there's different cards in there. And they'll apply in all different ways. So you can think about case study stories. You can think about pitch stories. You can think about mistake stories and stories that build trust. And they're all in there. If people want to find me on LinkedIn, that's where I do most of my sort of networking, on LinkedIn. So if people contact me on LinkedIn, it's Steve Rawling on LinkedIn, and say, hi, I heard you on Brian's podcast, I'll send them a PDF of that card we mentioned, Movie Time card, which basically tells you how to tell a basic story. So I'll send them a PDF of that if they come and say hello on LinkedIn and join my network, because I'm always interested in working with more people. I mean, the cards keep me very, very busy. We've got another, by the way, we've got another little pack of cards, little mini pack coming out next week. So I am very busy very busy with cards, but I actually really enjoy the kind of work we did where I'm digging into somebody's story, finding the gold, yeah, and bringing it up to the surface and saying, look, you had this story all along. And that's what I really like doing. So I love working with people on developing their own story.
Yeah. And I think what you do is really helpful too, because you break it down. There's a lot of head stuff. Like when you're trying to come up with it, it's like, there's just a lot of headspace, self-limiting stuff in your head. I don't know how to do this or whatever. And you just bring clarity.
It's really, thank you for saying that. It's really interesting that I've never met anyone who cannot tell a story. I've met lots of people who don't tell stories when they're at work, but that's because they think they shouldn't or they don't know how to. But when they're not thinking about it straight away, if you ask them about, oh no, tell me about a time when one of your customers was really angry, right? Then they'll tell you a story. Yeah, they'll just brilliant drop into story. But when you say, okay, tell me why your business is so important, they're like, oh God. Well, and they go up to this kind of high level where they start talking about return on investment and ratios of this to that and, you know, and ad spend and strategy. And they're starting to talk about this level up here, right? This kind of abstract level up here. And all you really want is them to just drop you down and go, for example, boom, little story.
Yep, exactly. So, hey, everybody listening, check out pipdex.com. We'll have it in the show notes and wherever you're looking at YouTube. And then hit up Steve. We'll put a link to his LinkedIn below also. But or you can just go to LinkedIn and just type his name in, Steve Rawling. Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you.
Brian, it's been great talking to you again.
Guys, get out there, crush it, close some deals. We'll see you next time.
All right, take care.